Hello everybody and welcome to the Across the Stages podcast, brought to you by Absolute Motorsport Radio and also available on Absolute Motorsport TV. I'm James Casey and joining me today will be Joshua Sutil as we review Rally Argentina. Thierry Neuville has taken his second win in a row and he has now extended his advantage at the top of the championship to 10 points. A dominant victory in Argentina with a fantastic display throughout the rally and a really brilliant result for him and Hyundai with Andreas Mikkelsen making it a 1-2 for the team. A fantastic event for Hyundai in general then, but Neuville was in a league of his own, I think it would be fair to say.
Absolutely. I think, you know, he really made the difference, didn't he, on this rally, just like he's been doing, you know, really all season. So impressive, you know, all the way through. A really, really difficult Friday, really for everyone, really difficult conditions. But he kind of survived those and then really pushed on Saturday, built a really nice lead. And then on Sunday, you know, there was the win was just not in doubt, really. He had it sealed up and easily, I think that his probably best rally of the season and another really good one, which has him the championship lead.
Andrea Adamo said something that really shocked me. He said, I think the question that he was asked just after Neuville sealed the victory was a great result for the team. And he said, no, a great result for our drivers. Great job from Thierry Andreas. And it's such an upfront answer. Unbelievable. And that's kind of what we've been saying. But it's really shocking to hear it from the team principal themselves. I think that's the highest praise you can get as a driver.
Absolutely. I mean, I really love the new team principal. He's just completely just says it how it is. He's a real great influence. I think he's really changed Hyundai as well. I think he's got to take some credit. But as he says, you know, they haven't even got their sort of major upgrade yet. And Neuville's leading the championship, has won two rallies on the bounce and is driving, you know, really on the form of his life. Even though I think it's fair to say that that car, you know, is not the quickest of the four. So really, really good stuff from Neuville. And Andreas Mikkelsen as well. We should talk about him, shouldn't we? Because this is his best result in an I-20, rather, since he was driving that Citroën C3. Of course, he got a second place there in Germany. And then, of course, before that, you have to go back to the end of 2016 when he won Australia in a Polo. So, yeah, Mikkelsen, James, was on really good form.
Yeah, and he didn't start the rally particularly incredibly, did he? Often we've seen him over the last few years having good Fridays and then the rally kind of tail away. But it was kind of the opposite here. He came strong as the event went on and by the end was really comfortable in that second position. And I think that's the rally that had been coming for a while. This season definitely from the start had been an improvement, hadn't it? But he just hadn't quite put a whole rally together due to kind of a little bit of bad luck, a little bit of poor driving. But now he's put that result together and really proved that he's still got the speed and can still be a really valuable part of that team.
Absolutely. I mean, he's got into high positions before, hasn't he? But usually what we see is he maybe gets up to second or third, you know, on Saturday and then just sort of slowly slips back. But actually this time, you know, he actually managed to maintain that position, as you said. And this is crucial, isn't it, for Mikkelsen? And hopefully it'll mean that he'll be in the car for a few more rounds this year and maybe be sort of back in favour with the Hyundai bosses.
In the end, it was Sebastian Ogier that took that final podium spot. But the main challenge, really, to Neuville was Oit Tanak. So we'll talk about him first. But another reliability problem is what kind of ended his fight. He was kind of closing in on Neuville, but alternator went on the penultimate stage of Saturday and ended his hopes. I would have thought by now that Toyota would have solved these problems because it kind of cost him towards the end of 2018 and it's looking like it could cost him now because he's quite a long way back in the championship.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, obviously still a long season and we saw what Tanak was able to do last year, you know, with winning so many events in a row. So that's not out of the question for this year. But yeah, it's not ideal, is it? Clearly that Yaris is the quickest car and Tanak is probably arguably the quickest driver at the moment, but it's just not really coming together for them with his reliability issues, which, you know, like you said, have really been around for quite a long time. I'm not sure if it's a different issue, but yeah, they seem to keep on cropping up and they're not even sort of small reliability issues. You know, these are real major ones that cost Tanak a whole heap of points.
Yeah, he was lucky that he still managed to pick up a couple of points out of this, ended up eighth overall. If it had happened any earlier, he wouldn't have been in the top 10. And his teammates, neither of them on the podium as well, both in the top five. Latvala put in a good rally, and Chris Meek was quite unlucky not to be on the podium. But that's two rallies in a row where we haven't seen a Toyota on the podium, which is pretty shocking given how quick we know that that car is, and the drivers as well.
Yeah, absolutely, especially Chris Meek. I mean, really, the podium should have come for him this rally. He was quite unlucky. I mean, he picked up a clumsy 10-second penalty, really, for that sort of weird gate issue, and only sort of lost that final podium position very, very late on, of course, with that puncture. So he was really, really unlucky. I don't know what it is with Chris Meek and punctures this season, but he seems to just be picking them up, so easily. So, yeah, it's a bit of a shame for Meek. The podium will come eventually for him, but, I mean, his solid season continues, and once again really had the better of Jari Matti Latvala, who was the third best Toyota for the fifth rally in a row, possibly. It's not ideal really for Latvala so far.
Yeah, no, I think you're right. I don't think Latvala has outperformed Meek at any event so far this season, so yeah, he does look like he's still got work to do. Just kind of improved, didn't he, on Sunday? He had a good day on Sunday, but you can't only have one good day in a rally. You need to be good over the whole 3 days.
I mean, this was his first power stage points as well of the season. I mean, he did a really good job, don't get me wrong, but this is the first time that he's picked up points on the power stage.
Yeah, and that does tell a lot, doesn't it, a lot of the time. So yeah, that is still work to do, but at least there's some light maybe at the end of the tunnel for Latvala. Of course, that was his 200th WRC event as well, wasn't it? He's kind of broken the curse of doing badly on events that are significant, which is, yes, I suppose, a good thing.
Unfortunately, now he does mediocre instead. But yeah.
So let's now go on to Ogier, who kind of turned it around, didn't he? Was not looking great on Saturday, but in the end managed to work his way onto the podium and pick up a power stage win as well, which has kind of reduced the loss of points to Neville, not too bad in the end. I think only 8 points lost. But at the end of the day, still, again, didn't have the pace throughout the rally, did he?
Yeah, typical Ogier, really. I mean, even when he doesn't have the pace, he comes on strong at the end. So full credit to him. He walks away with a meaty 20 points. And like you said, the damage done by Neville isn't really that extreme. Only 10 points in it. And, you know, to be honest, you don't want to be on the, first on the road in Chile as well. So Ogier is pretty much still in the perfect position in the championship, doing a good job, and maybe a little bit fortunate really to get that podium that, Meek probably deserved. But at the end of the day, Ogier gets his fourth podium in five rallies.
And he's just going to, that's the way he's going to keep in the game, isn't it? As we kind of saw last year, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Just slowly fell back, but managed to keep within a distance. So we'll see. I think next rally is going to be really interesting between those top three, how that works out on a new event. That's going to be very interesting. Teammate as well, Esa Pekka Lappi, another retirement. What is going on at the moment for him? A big crash, and I think they're having to ship a new car out for the Chile event, so really not good for him.
Yeah, that was a nasty one, wasn't it? Maybe a small error, but it certainly had big consequences. So yeah, really unlucky for Lappi. And I mean, when you have the sort of team principal coming out and saying that they still support Lappi, you know something's sort of going wrong, but he has to say that this early in the season. So I'm definitely a little bit worried for him. We all know he has the raw pace and the raw potential, but hasn't quite shown that. He had a great event in Sweden, but the other four have been, pretty poor and only scoring points, what, 1 point in Mexico and a few in Corsica. So not a great season, not a great start for Lappi's adventure, really, with Citroën. We expected an awful lot more. We didn't expect him to match Ogier, but we certainly thought that he could have a sort of Tanak and Ogier-like season, what we saw when Tanak went up against Ogier. Hasn't worked out that way for Lappi. So, yeah, he's got a lot of work to do, hasn't he?
Yeah, certainly needs to start just finding consistency, getting into the points. And then his season isn't exactly over, because I wouldn't say that anyone in front of him has really been that consistent. So points-wise, he can still maybe get into the top five, which I think would have been his aim at the start of the season. But got to start getting results soon. And then another disappointment was M Sport. They, off the back of a really encouraging Corsica, it all kind of fell backwards again, didn't it, in Argentina. Evans having an odd crash, just getting sideways, clipping a rock and rolling, and Sunnen just off the pace completely. Managed to keep it on the road and pick up some points, but just didn't quite have the pace, as we've seen a few times at events with him.
Yeah, I don't know if that's just the goal for Sunderland. You know, not to be off the pace, but I mean, just to finish the rally, you know. And that's what he's done for the second time in a row. So, you're not terrible, but like you say, certainly not the highs of Corsica. Maybe just not an event that suits them. I'm not sure. We'll see if it's any different in Chile, which you think might also be quite a similar story.
Now on to the support categories, WRC2 Pro and WRC2. We kind of knew the winners after Friday. It was Osberg with a massive lead, which he held in the end. Kind of Gus Greensmith had problems on Friday, and so did Marco Blatcher as well. So he kind of had a free run. But I think that he had a better event than he did in Sweden. His pace looked better. I think he's done good development on that Citroën between the two rallies that he's done so far this season.
Yeah, I mean, he won by a close margin of 21 minutes in that category. but yeah, I mean, he was comfortably the top actual sort of R5 runner, which was good to see. Not too much competition, but like you said, I think he did look a lot more comfortable. His times were competitive. And yeah, let's see if he can push on and show that you know, later on in the season.
And of course, the next event is a big one, because we've got Robin Perra back there as well. So we get to see Greensmith in the Fiesta, Osberg in Citroën, and Robin Perra in Skoda. So the three kind of lead drivers of each manufacturer. So that should be a good test of where everyone is at. But I suppose there's not too much more to say about WRC2 Pro. So we move on to WRC2, which Pedro Heller ended up winning. You said it was about 21 minutes, didn't you? I think it was 10 minutes in there. So this was
very close
in comparison.
Yeah, half as close. Yeah, or double as close, yeah.
But yeah, again, after Friday, he had a whacking great lead. We had a lot of different leaders on Friday, didn't we? Kajetan Kajetanovic, but then he had a bizarre failure, basically, where the suspension just collapsed on a really small jump. And then what we had, Katsuta and Alberto Heller, they both retired at the end of Friday, fighting for the lead. And in the end, it just gave Pedro Heller an easy run to the victory. But I suppose that's what he's very good at, isn't he? Is Heller getting to the end of the event and picking up points. Like
Yeah, exactly. That's what he's here for, you know, doing a good job. And after the disappointment of Mexico, it was pretty miserable. He's actually had quite a bad season so far. So this was pretty good for him to pick up the win. And a shame for Kandyalchuk and Katsuta as well, because I feel like an event like this would have been a good one for them to win, especially Katsuta, because there's not too much competition, you know, a bit of a win for the offering, really. But yeah, it wasn't to be, was it? With some quite dramatic crashes, mostly for most of the field.
Of course, there was drama for Heller right at the end. Yes. that was crazy. Literally a kilometre from the end, and the car just stops. And they managed to get to the end, but that was pretty crazy. That was real drama there. Yeah, lucky that it wasn't a lot closer, because that would have been a probably a lost event because of that. That was bizarre, wasn't it? So close to the finish.
Yeah, I think he said his Fiesta was showing all the red alarms. So apparently everything was going off and it was all doing its best to shut down. But fair enough, the spectators gave him a push and Heller got to the end and still with a 9.5 minute lead. So yeah, good on him and good on those spectators.
And then in terms of the championship in WRC2, Benito Guerra moved to the top because he was able to pick up second just through kind of staying in the event. He had a lot of problems, a roll on Friday, a couple of punctures, but managed to pick up second, moved to the top of the championship. And we're kind of talking about this, and if he picks his events well, which he often does, doing the events in the Americas and overseas where not many people turn up, he could be a real championship contender this season against the kind of guys like Vaby, who did the events in Europe. So yeah, I suppose we'll see how the season develops on that one. That could be an interesting way of winning the championship for him. At the moment, he's doing what he needs to do, isn't he?
Yeah, exactly. He's playing the game and playing it pretty well.
I think that's a good way of saying it. But yeah, we will see. I think that's shaping up interestingly, WRC2. That is it for Argentina, but it's not long that you have to wait until we're back. We're going to be reviewing the Pirelli Rally with possibly a special guest as well. So watch out for that. And then we've got Rally Chile coming up in just over a week's time now. So not too long to wait at all for the next installment of the podcast. So thank you very much for listening today. And yeah, we will see you very shortly.